Appreciate you, brother.
You.
So good to have you in church with Mom and all the rest of the family, too.
Amen. What a blessing.
Well, it is a privilege and an honor to be with you this morning. We are returning from a few days' vacation. We have been up in the mountains of North Carolina, and I am glad to be back in Florida. We left yesterday morning. It was 25 degrees. There was not snow on the ground, but there was a lot of frost on the ground. But we are glad to be here. Thank you for your goodness and kindness to my family.
That's all. We love it.
I'm a crier too.
No problem. Hallelujah. Me too, brother.
You have been so good to my mother. And it is a wonderful thing to know that she has a church family who stands with her, who prays for her, and who encourages her. And I just got a feeling that maybe she might be a blessing to some of you as well.
Yes, that's right, brother.
And so,
good.
If you have your Bibles and you'd like to read along with me, I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. The book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. As we were praying and as we were singing, my mind was on the number of things that are going on. I'll share with you just a moment as what God has done for us. When we went to Pensacola 9 years ago, we went to a church that seated 1,200 people. There were about 25 or 30 people in attendance at that time. It has become increasingly aware or evident to us that we were not going to be able to sustain that building as long as we would like to have. And after some much praying and much fasting, the church was in unity to move forward in purchasing a new building and looking forward to maybe building a new building. We were able to sell our property. We were driving down the road one day and saw a piece of property that just enamored us. If you're over in Pensacola, if you know anything about Copter Road, we're going to build a brand new building on Copter Road. Just an absolutely beautiful place that has a bunch of oak trees on it. The only thing that we're having a problem with now is we have what we call a heritage oak. If you don't know what a heritage oak is any oak tree who's 4 foot high or below that is 4 foot around in circumference. In diameter. And so anyway, we found out that our tree is in excess of that standard by about 6 inches. Right now there is a case pending on another tree that has already been cut down in another part of Pensacola, and the city is in litigation over that because they moved a little too fast in cutting that tree down. So I would ask you to help us to pray that God would allow us to be able to move that oak tree or be able to find a means of being able to do what we need to do.
Yes.
We're going to move forward.
Amen.
We're going to move forward, but we would appreciate your prayer so very much. But I just want to talk to you for just a few moments this morning. You began to ask the question, would you get through in time to go and maybe be with another pastor and his folks? Well, I don't like long-winded preachers. I don't want to be a long-winded preacher, but I do want to share with you something that I have found in the Word of God. We are living in perilous times.
Yes.
We are living in a day and an hour when difficulty seems to be showing up on every side.
Yes.
Even this week, over the last couple of weeks, I would say that our family has come under great attack of Satan. But I'm glad that I can stand before you today and tell you that God is always victorious.
Yes,
and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you and I have that same victory.
Amen.
The Scripture says, thanks be unto God that gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, I'll read one verse to you, and it's chapter, verse number 12. But we'll be going throughout the entirety of the chapter.
Amen.
Our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee.
Yes.
The Bible says in this particular passage of Scripture that Jehoshaphat was about to go through a very difficult time. There was going to come a great battle. There were multitudes that were headed his way. And I don't know about you today, but I can tell you this one thing, that every person under the sound of my voice this morning, you are going to encounter difficulties. There are going to be times in your life when you're going to have situations that arise. I'm not talking about just everyday difficulties. There are everyday difficulties that you and I have to go through. There are things that we go through every day. It's hard sometimes just to get up and make yourself go forward. Sometimes it's hard just for us to get up and to make ourselves go to work or do the things we need to do. But what do you do when you find yourself faced with a multitude of problems and they all come at one time? I don't know about you, but there are times that I have noticed that whenever situations come, they seem to multiply. And they just seem to be one life after another, and you don't know what you're going to do. Jehoshaphat was facing that situation. And the Bible says that the first thing that he did, notice with me, what the Bible said, the first thing that he did, he said, we're going to get together and we're going to pray.
Yeah.
There came a great multitude, in verse number 2, against thee from the beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they came to Hazen Zetamar, which is in Gedi, and Jehoshaphat feared. Listen, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah, and Judah gathered themselves together, listen, to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. I do believe with all my heart, according to the Word of God, if God's people love themselves and pray and seek His face, then we will hear from heaven. We will see God move on our behalf. But you and I have to do our part. We have to seek the face of Almighty God. We need to pray like never before. We need to seek the face of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that there was a man by the name of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, according to the Word of God, was sick unto death.
Yeah.
I can see him, Brother Gary, as he is on his sick bed. There are those that are gathered around him, and they are looking for him to pass just any moment. When God speaks to the prophet Isaiah, and he says to Isaiah, said, you go in, and you tell him to get his house ready, get everything in order, because you're about to die. And the Bible says that he walks in and he looks at Hezekiah and says, Hezekiah, you get everything in order because you're about to leave this life. But the Bible says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he began to pray. Now here's what I believe. Why did he turn his face to the wall? Because he was turning his back to death. He was turning his back to all those who believed that he was about to leave this life. And he turned his face to Jesus Christ, the one who can redeem him, the one who can lift him up, the one who can bring life to him, the one who can make him out of that secret. He was turning his back from all the negativity, and he was moving toward faith in Jesus. That's the kind of faith we need to have.
Amen, brother.
That's the kind of faith we've got to have in the hour that we're living in. We've got to pray like never before. Hezekiah got all the people together and they began to pray. And as they begin to pray, they begin to see God do some wonderful things. Just remember this, James chapter number 5 and verse number 16. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When I look those two words up, effectual and fervent, you know what it means? It means to mean business with God.
That's it.
It simply means to mean business with God. I have to ask myself from time to time, when's the last time I really put any effort in prayer? We put effort in everything else. But how much time do we put in prayer? How much time do we dedicate ourselves to prayer? When you realize that your situation is beyond your capability, you'll find your way to the prayer closet. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 15 at verse number 25, there's a little lady who had a child that was grievously vexed with the devil. She found where Jesus was going to be, and when she found where Jesus was going to be, she came to him. And all those that were around him said, listen, you're waiting. You're not worthy to talk to him. You shouldn't be around him. And this little lady kept on. Finally, the Bible says that she got close enough that she could worship him. And when she got close enough that she could worship him, all of a sudden everything changed. All of a sudden everything changed because Jesus himself turned around when he heard her worship. Now I know because I remember when I was here before. The last time I stood in this pulpit was at my father's going home celebration. And the last thing that we did before we left this place is I asked you to raise your hands. And I want to remind you of this one thing. I remember I was in school. I was a math major. I can't hardly put two and two together anymore, but I do remember one thing. And whenever I was in school, remember,
shut the door, I can go to my mom's house right now.
Oh, yeah.
And I can walk in, and I can get anything I want.
Uh-huh.
I can just walk in, and if I go to her kitchen and I open up her refrigerator, I can touch anything I want. But I don't want to do that too many times without saying thank you.
Yes, there you go.
Because there will come a day when I'll go in, and I'll reach to grab, to get into that refrigerator or cupboard, and she might slap my hand. And say, until you get thanked, I doubt there she is.
That's right.
But there may come a day. I just say this, Christian, when you go to God, if you're not thankful for what God has already done, why should He do anything
there
more for
us? Right,
why should He do anything more for us?
Very nice.
The Bible says they set themselves to pray. And as they begin to pray, they begin to see God move. And notice the next thing is found in verse number 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee.
Yeah.
Our eyes are upon thee. What do you do when the situation is too great? What do you do when the difficulty is too hard? The first thing you do is you pray. And the second thing you do is you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Why? Because when you keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can walk on water. You can walk on water.
That's right.
It wasn't until Peter got his eyes off of Jesus and onto the storm that he began to go under.
That's it.
It's the same way for you and I this morning. If we get our eyes off of Jesus Christ, guess what? The storm is going to get our attention.
There you go.
And when the storm gets our attention, we'll forget or we'll lose sight of where Jesus is. In the midst of we'll begin to go under. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Because the Bible says that when Peter began to go under, he just shook the crowd out, and Jesus reached down and lifted him back up.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about you, but that thrills me.
Amen.
Because there are times in my life when I simply don't keep my eyes on Jesus like I ought to.
Oh.
And just don't look for him like I ought to. I love the story over in Acts chapter number 7, Stephen is about to be stoned. As a matter of fact, he is in the midst of being stoned. Why? For having a testimony of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Your pastor, I refer to you as pastor. I hope that's the correct terminology, but I'll call you pastor. Anything. Just start over here.
That'll work.
Said just a little while ago, he talked about the difficulties and the hardships that you guys have gone through. But yet he also talked about how good God was in the midst of that.
That's good.
And over the last month, and he told you about what God did for us in our church.
Yeah.
When we walked in and saw this piano, we got one almost exactly like that.
Hallelujah.
Came at my favorite price. Free.
Amen.
Amen.
What a blessing.
If you keep your eyes on Jesus Christ, you'll never know what God can do for you.
Right.
Stephen was about to be stoned. They were casting stones at him when the Bible said that he looked toward heaven. And what did he see? He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. And he never got his eyes off Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. But we do know this, that in the midst of all the stones being thrown at him, what did he do? He knelt down in his presence and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And then the Bible said that he lay down and went to sleep. Now I know that a lot of folks are telling you today, and it could very well be true, and I believe to be true, that they did stone him to death. But here's what I believe, Pastor. I believe the man laid down and went to sleep.
That's it.
I literally believe a man that did. Why? Because when you have your eyes on Jesus Christ, what this world can do, you will bring you no heart whatsoever.
Amen.
And the hurt that you're feeling is only temporary.
That's right, brother.
Because the next time you open his eyes, he'll be glory.
Yeah.
Amen. The next time he opened his eyes, he was in the presence of God the Father. And I'm glad today that if we keep our eyes on Jesus, He will see us through. You also have to be sensitive to God's Spirit. Notice verse number 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, Levite, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye all Judah and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Listen, be not afraid nor dismayed by the reason of this great battle, for the battle is not yours but God's. The Spirit is saying this morning, as long as you choose to fight in the flesh, He will listen fight in the flesh. But when you choose to fight in the Spirit, understand, all you must do is get yourself ready, you array yourself, but then you just simply stand still and see the salvation of God.
Amen, brother. Amen. That's it.
Now, I tell my folks, and I don't mind sharing with you.
Amen.
I believe the Word of God is told. There's nothing that needs to be added to it. There's nothing that needs to be taken away from it.
Amen.
But I do sometimes wish that He had added two more words. When He said, stand still, I wish He just said, and shut up.
Same thing I was thinking. Hallelujah.
I love to have fellowship.
Yes.
I love that fellowship, but there are times we need to be still and we need to be quiet.
Amen.
Because sometimes we may be talking when God seems to.
That's it.
And we need to hear closely and clearly to what Jesus Christ has to say.
That's right.
Because He knows better than you and I do.
Good.
He knows far better than you and I will ever know. Thank God that His ways are not our ways.
Yes.
Because if I thought the battles in the way I wanted to fight them, guess what? I would have been annihilated a long time ago.
I know that. Yes, sir.
But when I step back and just stand still, I've seen God do some awesome things.
Thank God.
Years ago, we were living in Columbia, Alabama. Thank you for your compassion. We were living in Columbia, Alabama. And every day I went to work one way, I went to Georgia, my wife went to Dothan, and we met back at Columbia. And anyway, this particular day, we were going into the house, and it was raining. And I saw her, she had some groceries or something in her hand, and she slipped on the steps going into the house. And when I got into the house, she disappeared. I didn't know where she was. And so I went looking for her, and I got to the bedroom, and she was lying on the bed. When I got there, her kneecap was on the side of her leg. I'd only seen that one other time in my life, and the police chief of this city had happened to him years and years and years and years ago. And I was there when it happened. And I remember hearing the screams of that man as he was lying and everything. I never heard a word of that woman.
Wow.
I walked back there and I looked. And I don't have any special gift. I don't have any special ability. But God, I serve, has all of us.
Yes, sir.
And I just reached over and put my hand on her leg and began to pray. And as I began to pray, I begin to watch your knees move right back in your house.
Hallelujah.
I tell my church every once in a while, you need to shake your head a little bit louder.
Yes.
When you see a miracle like that, you need to acknowledge a miracle. Amen.
That's it.
I believe with all my heart. And that's not the only thing that God has done. And I'm just saying, if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He is the same today, each and every one of us, He has no favors, and He has no respect for purpose, what He has done for me, He can do for you.
That's what He said.
And what He's done for you, He can do for me.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yes, sir.
Thank God. You just get ready. You get ready for battle, but then you just stand still. Had you not rather see Jesus fight on your behalf than anybody else?
Oh, yeah.
What a great and mighty God He is.
God.
Be still.
He's good.
Be still. And I'll finish with this one thing.
Amen.
Verses number 21 and 22. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord.
Yes.
And that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army to pray to say praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Listen, and when they begin to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments among the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. I find it amazing. Brother Ricky's back there in the back, and he and I have been friends for a lot of years. And I'll tell you a very quick story about Brother Ricky and myself. He called me up when I was passing out a Bible. He said, would you be interested in doing a youth revival for a few nights? And I was excited. Man, I would just be absolutely thrilled to do so, Brother Ricky. I appreciate you thinking about me. I said, who was supposed to be there? He's a good preacher.
Yeah.
But the good preacher couldn't show up.
I don't really think he said that. But
he said, are you looking? I said, yes, sir. I'm looking to God. I said, Ricky, what time should I be in Panama City? He said, oh. He said, we used to be getting together right around I showed up down there. There was nobody there. And I sat for a little bit. People walked by me. Nobody spoke. Nothing. And then finally Ricky came up. And I said, Ricky, I don't worry. We're going to have service. And he said, oh, there's the kids that got to eat. They got to get the showers. They got to do that. I stepped into the pulpit at midnight. I see you back there laughing. You ain't going to hide behind that glass. I stepped in the pulpit at midnight. I didn't know how or what to say. I did everything in my power to try to win those young people over to my side. And you talking about some of them folks that look like they're mug shots? Them youngies look like they had been muzzled. They didn't say a word. I went back on Tuesday night. The same thing happened again. I went back. They could not go back on Wednesday night, so I had to preach to my church. Went back on Thursday night, and the weather was going to be bad. Remember, Ricky? The weather was going to be Thursday night. It was going to be the last night. I had to go home Monday night, Tuesday night, and I told my wife, I said, those folks, they're never had me. They don't even know me in their head. So I decided I would do something that maybe could bring guys tired, but I was sitting at home at that time, so I took a window with me to run ahead of me. I took our daughter Taylor, who liked to play the guitar, and she took her guitar because a lot of those kids play the guitar.
Yes.
We showed up on Thursday afternoon when we drove up. A group of kids ran out, hey, Mr. Martin, how you doing?
What a mess. Yes.
And my wife said, I thought she said, thank you. I said, I don't know what the youngest was with you actually.
Yeah. Amen.
We walk in, and I asked her, Taylor, add in with them and play her guitar and sing. And they said, yes.
Yes.
No response Monday night. No response Tuesday night. I have no idea what happened Wednesday night. Thursday night, 13 young people came to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
As Lord, woman, their Savior.
Hallelujah.
And surrendered unto Jesus Christ.
What a blessing.
I say all that to say this. Notice what the Bible says, that before the army went out, the singers went out.
Yep.
The singers went out. You want to know why we sing before we preach? Because when we sing, what is God doing? He says, I'm setting up ambushes. You know what that is? It's secret attacks. He said, I am setting up secret attacks against the devil that he doesn't even see coming. And when he tries to attack you, guess what? All of a sudden, he's gone.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I don't know about you, that kind of makes me happy. To know that Jesus Christ is fighting my battles for me, and all I think I can do is just sit back and sing a song.
Hallelujah. That's it, brother.
Just sing a song.
Enjoy.
We were singing Amazing Grace, well, the devil got the verse in the man. I hadn't heard them all. I forgot it was in there.
Yeah.
But we had one more to.
Yeah.
Do you?
Amen.